Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 OHM Infra Limited conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Mehta. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to OHM Infra Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the first quarter ended June 30, 2023. We have with us today the senior management team of OHM Infra Limited, Mr. Vikas Kothari, Director and President, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Jain, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Documents relating to the company's financial performance have already been uploaded on the website of the stock exchanges and the company. I now invite Mr. Vikas Kothari to share his initial remark on the company's performance for the quarter.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you, and welcome everyone to our company's conference call. For those of you joining us for the first time, let me give you a quick run-through of our businesses. Let me start with our core business. As many of you may already be aware, our core competencies lie in engineering services, EPC, mainly aimed at hydro, irrigation, pump storage projects, power generation, and water supply projects. Since the last few years, few decades, our company has made several strides in the area, and today we are one of the leading players in turnkey execution contracts for hydro power EPC. Hydromechanical, we are one of the largest companies in India, which includes equipment like gates, liners, press racks, mechanical and hydraulic hoists. This is a very niche and monopolistic business for us, where we are the market leaders. Other than this, we are also into irrigation projects, Jal Jeevan Mission projects, pump storage power projects, hydropower projects, and irrigation projects, both in India and abroad. In terms of our order book, we are proud that our current order book stands at more than 2,900 crores, and it contains a good mix of hydro and water projects, as well as Jal Jeevan Mission projects. It is almost four times our current revenues of FY23. More importantly, our order book has grown almost four times since March 2018 to March 2023, at almost 3,000 crores, and sales have doubled in the same period. Let me take a minute to explain the nature of these projects. The hydro, water, and pump storage projects, which are typically irrigation, dam building, hydromechanical equipments, are executed over two to three years period and give us a good 18%-20% EBITDA margin. Our current order book from these projects is about 1,200 crores, with a good mix of state, central, and couple of foreign projects. Revenues of these projects are recorded on a project completion basis. The second vertical is Jal Jeevan Mission projects, where there are two major components: pipe procurement, laying, and other EPC-related works related to Jal Jeevan Mission. These projects are to be executed over a two-year, two to three-year period, with a healthy EBITDA margin of about 12%-15%. However, the nature of these projects requires us to put in upfront expenses for procurement, while book revenues upon completion of the section or milestones. This causes some volatility in our quarterly numbers, including our margins. However, upon completion of entire project, we expect to achieve a 12%-15% EBITDA margin. Our current outstanding book for Jal Jeevan Mission projects is about 1,772 crores, out of which 1,164 crores is in Uttar Pradesh and 608 crores is in Rajasthan. Once executed, these projects will open the doors for other similar projects with the central and state governments. These projects and also hydropower projects also carry a component of O&M, operation and maintenance, which gives us a steady revenue over a 5 to 10 year period also from the same projects. The company also plans to participate in upcoming tenders of almost 2,500 crores for some of the key projects in hydropower space. And we also plan to participate in pump storage projects, which have been announced by the Government of India. Coming to the industry outlook, our potential and the company's growth. Over the past decade, the Indian energy sector energy transition has resulted in a substantial shift from fossil fuel backed sources to renewable energy. According to National Electricity Plan 2022, India would need an additional 17,000 gigawatts of hydropower capacity added between 2022 and 2031 in order to sustain a 500 gigawatts of renewable energy on the grid. Over time, the government has brought in various enablers to help the industry, which is important since India is aiming at 50% capacity from non-fossil sources by 2030. Apart from hydroelectricity, the government also, including the state governments, are focusing on river linking projects, water supply, irrigation projects, Jal Jeevan Mission projects, and also generation of power through pump storage projects. These water infrastructure projects could cost Indian government about 270 billion over the next 5 to 15 years. Let me now take you through some key liquidity events that we see happening over the next few months and years. As some of you will recollect, we commenced the process of monetization of housing projects in our real estate portfolio. The two projects that are currently in progress are the Palacia project in Jaipur, which is unique, high-end, RERA-compliant apartments, having a complete lifestyle experience with luxury living where construction is completed, and the process of handing over of the flats has commenced. We have also received the OOC for this project. The project has also received RERA completion certificate in Q1 FY24. We expect to secure almost 380 crores over the next few quarters from this project. OM Green Meadows in Kota, which is a residential township that has flats, villas and apartments and provides residents a complete lifestyle experience. This project has been partially handed over and we expect to secure almost about 60 crores as the project completes fully over the next 2 to 3 years. Coming to our Mahada project in Mumbai, we have been holding this land since 2006 and we invested about 106 crores at that time. Due to its large size of development, we tied up the DB Realty and consequently our holding the project got diluted to 17.5%. Of course, as is the case with slum rehabilitation projects, there are inordinate delays in slum clearance. The consortium appealed to the arbitration against Mahada and the matter is finally heard. An award is received with some of our claims accepted and some of our claims not accepted. So it's a mixed award where we have received some benefits and we are still challenging some of the claims that we had put in arbitration. That will be challenged in the High Court. We anticipate from this project that upon settling the matter, more than 2 million square feet of developable area will be available and our share of realizable value works out to approximately 750 crores as per the market rates, subject to sharing ratio, which will be determined once we tie up with any other developer or if the DV decides to do it themselves. So there is still a bit of an ambiguity on this. On our other arbitration matters, which have been long pending, we are also seeing some bit of closure and we expect to receive almost more than 600 crores once all the matters have been resolved. Let me quickly take you through these arbitrations and these disputes also. We are very happy and pleased to announce that we have reached the final settlement on the project against NIPCO, which we had been fighting with for the last 15 years. So under the guidelines given by the Ministry of Power, we have received claims worth 18 crores already. And we have received bank guarantees, which we stuck with the project
for the last so many years, worth almost 21 crores. And some balance amount is also expected to be received in the next few weeks, I would say. So this finally puts a closure to a 600 megawatt project which we had completed some time back for the central government, Ministry of Power. Then we have the second project, which is NTPC, which is Tapu and Vishnugarh project. Our company won an arbitration award of more than 50 crores there. And NTPC had accordingly deposited the amount in the court and challenged the award in Honorable High Court. We had filed our claim for settling the matter at 65% under the Vivad Se Vishwas scheme. The central government has come out with Vivad Se Vishwas scheme, under which if you have won the arbitration already against the central government PSU, then we can receive a 65% amount against the awarded value. So we are hopeful that this should also get concluded in the next few months, which will bring in a significant cash flow to the company. The largest piece of the matters in the arbitration is the Bhilwara-Jaipur toll road, where OHM Infra had developed a 212-kilometer road project in Jaipur to Bhilwara stretch, where private vehicles tolling was made toll-free with effect from April 2018 by the state government, and thus the company terminated the concession agreement for breach of contract by the government and submitted claims worth 570 crores. After several hearings, the matter was adjudicated in the company's favor at the arbitrator's level. The award has since been challenged in commercial court by PWD, Public Works Department, Government of Rajasthan. So summing up, we are expecting significant cash flow of over 1,000 crores from the above mentioned events, which will be added to the core operational cash flow over the next 2 to 5 years. In conclusion, over the past few years, we have continued to build our strengths and have increased the scale of operations of our company. With a large order book at hand and our demonstrated track record and leading position in hydro and water infrastructure, we believe that we are well placed to capitalize on the opportunities in this space and post strong growth in the coming quarters. I now request Mr. S.K. Jain, our CFO, to take you through our financial performance. Over to S.K. Jain.
Thank you, Vikasji, for a nice briefing on entire company's prospects. Let me now take you to the financial performance of the company for Q1 24. At the outset, we are very happy to report that we are at par with our expectations for Q1. And we have shown a revenue of 263 crore, which is up against 125% from year to year, and consolidated revenue of 267 crore, which is up by 84% year on year. Profitability remained within our expected range of 89%, as while receipt of cost escalation, added margins, higher share of JJ projects, which led to overheads and establishment cost, lowered it on year-on-year basis. At control level, EBITDA and EBITDA margin impacted due to accounting of the inventory carrying cost and other value addition expenses in Palacia, in real estate Jaipur. Against revenue recognition, as an outcome of sale deal execution, the CC was received in financial year 2023, and RERA completion has also been achieved in Q1 24, which is a big landmark in this RERA project. Standalone EBITDA grew 62% year-on-year to 22 crore rupees, forming a part of 8.3% at control level, 59% year-on-year at 20 crore rupees back. We have also been working on strengthening our balance sheet, and as on March 23, our gross debt to equity ratio is 0.18x and net debt to equity ratio is 0.07x. As on March 23, non-current liabilities reduced from 15 crore, and March 23, we had a cash balance of approximately 40 crore in our balance sheet, which is under lien with banks as cash margin for bank guarantees. We are hopeful that the shareholders approved the dividend in the AGM, which is scheduled in the last week of September, and we are hopeful that the shareholders will approve 50% dividend, which we have recommended in board meeting in April 23. Those are, now I request again Vishal to take up the conference.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our first question from the line of Harsh Saraswat, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, Vikas ji and Jain sahab. Congratulations on good numbers. So my first question is on the pump projects, which you said on in the opening remarks. Can you throw some light on what are these pump projects and, you know, what kind of orders are we expecting?
Sorry, you said pump storage projects, right?
Pump projects, yeah. In the opening remark you mentioned. Yeah.
So see, Government of India, having realized that there is a, you know, earlier we had a very good balance between fossil fuel and renewables of almost 60-40. But over the last one and a half decade, our balance is skewed towards fossil fuel. So Government of India has realized that this is not a good mix for a country to have, you know, and the only source of energy which can be called renewable and also, you know, add to the peak demand is either hydropower or pump storage projects. So pump storage projects are actually very advantageous, environment friendly and quick to set up. So government has kept a target of adding almost 30 to 40,000 megawatts through pump storage projects across India. India has a huge potential of over 50,000 megawatts through pump storage projects. And a lot of this development will be done through central government PSUs as well as through private sector. So you may have heard recently in the news that all the companies, all the power generating companies have signed up MOUs with the state governments to develop pump storage projects. I'm expecting that on an annual basis, we should have a capacity addition of at least 10,000 megawatts through pump storage projects. Of course, the gestation period for these projects is anywhere between 3 to 4 years. So even if they start construction today, the capacity addition will not start immediately. Capacity addition in under pump storage project will start, let's say, from 2 to 3 years from now. But the Government of India has given all the benefits, including the categorization of pump storage project as renewable energy, including early and quick processing of environment clearance, etc. Now, my sense is that from now, 2 to 3 years from now, we should have a capacity addition of anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000 megawatts through pump storage projects. Now, for us, what does it mean for our company? What it means for our company is that, let's say, 1,000 megawatt pump storage project is there. The cost of, now I'm giving you a very high level, 30,000 feet view level numbers. Cost of these projects could be anywhere between 3 to 5 crores per megawatt. So any 1,000 megawatt project will be, cost will be anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 or 4,000 to 5,000 crore in terms of project cost. And our portion in that will be roughly around, hydromechanical portion will be roughly around 5 to 10% of the total cost of the project. So on an average, on an annual basis, roughly around 400 to 500 crores worth of hydromechanical opportunity comes from pump storage projects. I don't know whether that answers your question.
Got it. And my second question is on the monsoons this year. So has operations had any impact on, you know, monsoons have had any impact on, you know, in the projects our company is doing?
Well, monsoon is a regular feature for us every year. Our execution becomes slow during the monsoon season. But by and large, it's nothing extraordinary.
Okay, got it. And on the margin front, should we see improvement going forward as we go towards the H2 of the year? Any guidance on that margin front?
See, margins for us are by and large locked at the time of signing the contract, because most of our contracts are you know, with escalation.
So margins are locked for us in, as I explained earlier, in PHD projects, in Jal Jeevan Mission projects from anywhere between 12%-14%, and in the WRD and hydromechanical, anywhere between 15%-20% EBITDA margins are locked. So what changes is only the time when these margins are realized. In some projects, these margins are realized upon completion of the project. In some projects, it is, you know, during the execution, for example, in hydromechanical projects, it is also during supply and installation when a revenue recognition takes place.
Got it, got it. And one more last question would be, what would be the taxation rate going forward this year? Do we have more, you know, losses of past to write off or anything like that, or should we expect 25%?
Let me explain this, Harji, that we are adopting the ICBS mechanism of income tax, which allows us to book the money which has been retained by project authorities as expenses. Suppose we raise a bill of 100 rupees and we get only 90 rupees, 10 rupees we book as expenses because that has not been realized by the time we book the revenue. That 10 rupees under ICBS mechanism is reported as expenses in computation of income tax, and which makes our profitability almost at either zero tax or maybe 5 or 10% tax. So in our Q1 balances we have shown a 0% tax because the retention money returned by the authorities are accounted for as expenses in the books.
So, but if we realize this amount, we will be paying taxes that time.
Yes. Suppose in this year we realize some money which was retained last year, then we will have to pay tax.
Got it, got it. And lastly, last question would be that ESM, we have written to SEBI on this ESM thing. Have we received any reply from SEBI on that?
Not yet.
Even after our market cap has gone beyond 500 crores.
Yeah, they have diluted the ESM2 mechanism by allowing 2% upward or lower revision. So I think they will not reply because they have already reduced the stringent penalties of ESM2. I think by September end, we will be out of ESM and we will be on track. By the time, we will have more than 500 crore rupees as a market cap.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. That would be all.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sachin Abhyankar from Transcend Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Good evening, sir. So just want to reiterate, one thing was answered by you on the margins front. Just want to reiterate on the revenue guidance for current year and next year from the either of the two, from the electromechanical and from the Jal Jeevan. That's question number one. And the second question, I think, so has been answered on the taxation front. So, sir, just reiteration on the revenue guidance for current year and the full year margins, because somewhere you have mentioned that the margins in one is around between 12% to 15% and margins in the second sector is between 15% to 20%. So just a full year guidance on margins and on the revenue recognition for the current year and next year, sir.
The revenue recognition for the current year will be, if everything goes good, if the monsoon is settled by August end or September end, we are hopeful to clock a four-digit revenue in March 24, but it will depend on many parameters of Jal Jeevan Mission going in Rajasthan and UP. But we are hopeful that we will clock a revenue of four-digit in March 24 with an EBITDA of 11% to 12% safely.
Okay. And what will be your current debt balance? Because I think so you already repaid around 21 crores of term loans. So what will be the current debt in the books?
The current debt in the books is 17 crore rupees towards the ECLGS as a corona loan which we took for 4 years at a very low interest rate. And approximately 10 crore rupees is towards earth moving equipment like DG set and telebelt machines, which is payable in next 3 years. So totally 27 crore is the debt, which will be payable in next 3 years.
Okay. And one more question for my side is, sir, what is the situation on the bank guarantee front? Because I think so that was one major issue for us in the fourth quarter and the first quarter.
The external credit rating at BBB- has been taken as favorable by all bankers and in the financial ministry. We are hopeful that our entire limit of 250 crore rupees will be tied up very soon in next 1 or 2 months. We will have sufficient BG limit in hand. We will be able to bid for larger projects going ahead.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. If there's something, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. One, if you can help me in reconciling the order book. So if I just subtract this quarter number versus, you know, vis-a-vis the last quarter number, I can actually see the hydro in terms of, you know, revenue share has increased. Whereas, you know, in the commentary we are saying that GGM has contributed. So can you please help me reconcile the number?
Yeah. Let me explain you that Q1 at approximately 150 crore more. So there, I was explaining that in the first quarter itself, we have executed approximately 150 crore rupees from Jal Jeevan Mission and 100 crore rupees from other hydropower and civil construction projects. So after this execution, the mix of 2,900 crore rupees order book is largely by 60% is from JJM and rest is from hydropower and other civil construction projects. So the reconciliation sheet has been given in the presentation which is uploaded in the BSC website. If you will go through the exact numbers, you will get from there.
Got it. Sure. Sir, secondly, in terms of, you know, the assets which we've surrendered, you know, the FCI projects, so what is the amount of in which we have invested out there and how much can we, so what is the plan out there? How do you intend to monetize those assets?
FCI project?
Yes.
The FCI project was terminated without intervention because the land prices got shoot up there and some statutory approvals of mixed land use from commercial to industrial and industrial to commercial was a little bit challenging from the government of Gujarat. So we preferred termination of the contract and we are hopeful that the land bank of 21 acres which we have will be monetized soon by us because the land prices have shot up there and this will give us some additional cash flow in coming years.
So in terms of investments, what would be our investments out there and will we be monetizing outright or will we have to do some construction and then monetize that?
No, we have a plan of monetizing outright because Gujarat is not our forte for any other project beyond hydromechanical and this infra project. But the land available with us is the as per book value almost 11 to 12 crore rupees which we invested in late 18 and early March 19. As per current market rate, the price is approximately beyond 15 to 16 crore rupees. If everything goes good, we will be able to monetize that 15 to 16 crore rupees in next 1 year approximately.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankita Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. Can you elaborate on the hydro opportunity space? So we hear a lot of work is happening there and also like what is the order inflow for us till now for like FY24 and also what we are expecting for like full year FY24?
Hydropower, India has probably some of the largest hydropower resources in the world, after second only to maybe China. And of that, I would say not even 50% has been tapped in terms of generation. So, and there has been a big gap in the last 10 years in new capacity addition in hydro. So, having realized that, Government of India has announced a massive focus on development of hydropower projects. That is one reason. The other reason is that there is a sincere effort being made by the Government of India to tap the potential in the border states, be it Jammu and Kashmir, be it Arunachal Pradesh and, you know, all the bordering states. And therefore, the Government of India has told the central government, PSU especially, to sign MOUs, and that has already happened. If you recently read in the news that Arunachal Pradesh has signed MOUs with NHPC, HJVNL, CHDC, and NIPCO, all these four companies for development of new projects in that region. My expectation is that the target by the Government of India is to add almost 20,000-30,000 megawatts of new hydropower capacity in the next few years. And this should again result in a significant opportunity for us. Now we used to earlier address only hydromechanical portion of the hydropower project, which was only 5 to 10% of the total cost of project. Now, especially in small and medium hydropower projects, we do complete EPC. We have the credentials of having completed almost 50 to 80 megawatts of hydropower projects on a turnkey EPC basis, where we are responsible for the entire project, including civil, hydromechanical, and electromechanical also. Similarly, we are doing a EPC for a 300 megawatt, almost 300 megawatt project in Punjab, where we are doing civil, hydromechanical both together. So from design, civil, and hydromechanical we do. So depending on each project to project basis, we will take up either hydromechanical alone if the size is big, or civil and hydromechanical both put together. So this is just to give you a high level overview. My sense is that we should add anywhere between 300 to 500 crores in pure hydromechanical contracts also on an annual basis into our order book, to give you a very high level and a broad sense. Now, hydromechanical is not only from hydropower projects, it's also from hydropower projects, irrigation projects, which is basically dams, and it is also in pump storage projects. So from all these areas, I'm expecting to add anywhere between 500 to 1,000 crores or a few thousand crores over the next few years.
Okay, so that was really helpful. And also, can you throw some light on the margins? Are these 8 to 10% margins sustainable? Earlier, we used to do double-digit margins now. Is this the new normal that we'll consider?
In hydromechanical, our margins are very strong because it's a monopolistic business for us. We are one of the market leaders in this space of hydromechanical equipment. So here our gross margins are anywhere between 15 to 20%. Our net margins are also in double digits in hydromechanical business.
Okay, so that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. A reminder again to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We'll take a next question from the line of Jitesh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vikasji, SKG, and thanks very much for this opportunity. Okay, my question again, in the opening remarks, you mentioned about the Bandra arbitration, that some of the claims have been accepted. Can you please elaborate more on that, what kind of claims have been accepted, and what more claims are you looking for?
See, let me give you a brief, although this is still sub judice, so therefore there may not be much to elaborate on this, but I'll give you broad highlights. The broad highlight is that we wanted a time extension of our contract with MHADA. We have received the time extension. MHADA was supposed to give us 30,000 square meters of land, whereas they gave us only around 27,000 square meters of land. MHADA has been asked to give the additional 3,000 square meters of land by the judgment and the arbitration. Other than these two, we had asked for some relief in the premium amount to be paid on the sellable area in this project. We have not received some of the reliefs, like the premium amount, concessions, etc. For those reliefs, we will approach the higher courts and appeal against those particular decisions which have not been given given to us.
Okay. Also, is DB Realty looking at actually tying up with some other prominent developer, or are they going to develop this on their own?
Well, this is still under discussion. We have not finalized. We are in discussions with various developers, but we have not frozen a decision on this. So as of now, the intent is to develop it along with DB Realty. But if at any given point in time we receive a good offer from any reputed developer, we are open to that also.
Okay. And that's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a next question from the line of Ketan Athavale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I wanted to know what is the EBITDA margin on reported basis in real estate?
Yeah. On real estate, we have a EBITDA margin of approximately 10-15% in both the projects, in Palasia, Jaipur, and in Omgen Mundos, Kota. In both the projects, we are having a RERA completion already, and we are going ahead with monetization of the unsold inventory. And by the time the entire inventory is sold, we will have safely 12-15% as EBITDA in our balance sheet.
But that is on the 10% margin is on reported basis, right? As in accounting?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And you just mentioned Kota project is completed?
Yeah, partially we have handed over. There were 5 towers. So 3 towers we have handed over. 2 towers are under in the stage of handing over.
Okay. And what will be FY25? Guidance for engineering business, margin and revenue guidance?
By 25, we are also hopeful to achieve 4-digit top line with an EBITDA of 12% approximately. But how the things go ahead in Jal Jeevan Mission projects, that purely depends on the availability of land and availability of raw material. We cannot comment much on that, but we are hopeful that we will achieve at least 4-digit top line.
Okay, and just one thing, when will this real estate business revenue run rate actually pick up? What do you expect, or in which quarter can we see this pick up?
The accounting mechanism of real estate suggests that whenever one gets the registry and sale deed of his apartment, then we can book the revenue in the P&L part. In the computation of income tax, we can book the revenue as and when we get the advance. But in P&L, as per company law, we have to revenue recognize only when the registry is done. The registry of both the projects is going consistently day by day. In this quarter also, we have booked the revenue of 2 crore rupees from Palasia and 1 crore rupees from Omgen Mundos. In total, both the projects, approximately 400 crore rupees revenue will be booked in next 2 to 3 years. The real estate segment gains momentum as it is going right now. So we are hopeful that by 2026 or 2027, we will be able to achieve the full recognition of the project.
Okay, thank you. I will fall back in the question. Okay.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sachin Abhyankar from Transcend Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question on real estate. Since in the income tax, I believe we book on the completion basis, and that doesn't happen in the P&L. Can you guide us how much is being booked in the income tax for March FY 23 on a completion basis? Wanted to understand how much can come as revenue booking in FY 24.
In March 24, in the P&L part, the revenue booking will be done on the basis of registration done for apartments.
Suppose
we achieve a registration of 100 crore rupees in the this financial year, we book a revenue of 100 crore rupees in P&L part. But and
My question is, sir, can you guide us how much of the revenue was booked on completion basis in income tax?
In income tax, we have already booked approximately 180 crore rupees.
180 crores.
Yes.
And this is for Jaipur?
Jaipur.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karthikeyan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to understand the working capital cycle better in your hydro as well as in the Jal Jeevan projects. Hydro, especially on both the modes, the EPC and the hydro mechanical separately. And I missed that part, so can you please explain?
From the date of submitting the bills to Revenue Department of the project authority, in Jal Jeevan, the average time taken is 30 to 45 days. And in hydromechanical and other civil structures, from 45 to 60 days. So if you average that, it is 45 days for both the projects after the submission of bills to department.
So you're saying hydro, even if you do EPC, it would be the same or would it be different? Because when you do EPC, would you also be involved in procuring the equipment, or how exactly would that be?
Raw materials are procured like steel and cement, which gets accumulated at project site, and these are installed in the dams or barrages, whatever in EPC. And once we submit the bill to the department, then we get 14 to 60 days as a data realization. And overall,
sure.
if you count raw material also, it will be approximately 90 to 120 days.
So, for example, if you do 1,000 crore of revenue from these two segments, what should be the year-end working capital numbers like? I'm just trying to understand what kind of balance sheet requirements would be there.
150 crore rupees will be inventory and 200 crore will be debtors, approximately.
Approximately. Sure. Thanks for clarifying. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone now. Please press star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up from Mr. Ketan Athavale from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you tell me what will be the debt trend going ahead? And how will interest expense flow?
The debt trend will not be much in our business, because whenever we get the project, we get a mobilization advance of 5 to 10% from the project authority. That keeps us turning for project execution. That is required largely for CAPEX, which is an equipment, which we require if the turnover goes up and the order book goes up. That will be maximum 30 to 40 crore rupees in next 1 or 2 years. Apart from this, there is not much requirement of any term loan or CC, apart from existing labor in our balance sheet, as per current case.
Okay. And just one more question. On a high level, what has changed in your engineering business compared to last 5 years, compared to say 2016, 17, 18? What is the difference now?
Debt.
In engineering business.
Are you asking about debt?
No, I'm talking what has changed in the nature of your engineering business. Has anything changed over years?
Two major differences have happened, or rather a couple of major differences have happened. One is the competitive scenario has become much better today. It was, if I told my VD guys to make a list of all the competition we used to face 10 years ago, there would be a list of 10 companies. Today the competition is only between 3 to 5 companies. That is one difference. Only good companies have survived in the last 10 years, all the turmoil that our industry has gone through. So all the good and healthy companies are the only ones which have bank guarantee limits. See, our biggest raw material is bank guarantee limits. And bank guarantee limits is available only to healthy companies. So that is one difference, that major difference that has happened. The other difference within the company is that has happened is we used to earlier focus only on hydromechanical, which was a very small and a niche, although it was good margin and monopolistic, but the size of the industry was very small. Today, we have the qualifications to address larger portion of the EPC in the water business. Today, we are doing the Jal Jeevan Mission projects. Today, we are doing complete dam projects, which include civil and hydromechanical both and electromechanical also. Even in the hydropower space, we are doing civil, electromechanical and hydromechanical also, complete EPC. So we have started addressing a much larger pie of the EPC business in water. So these are some of the big differences. And the third and the most important is Government of India, which had lost its focus on hydropower development, has renewed its focus in the last 1 year. If you see all the announcements being made by the Honorable Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and the Minister of Power, and you know, all the announcements and the interviews that central government PSUs has signed, shows that there is a renewed focus on development of both pump storage projects as well as hydropower projects. So these are the major developments and highlights that have changed in the last 5 years.
Okay. Thank you for your answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Kothari for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you very much for everyone's participation. I truly appreciate your sparing time on today, Monday, in your busy schedule and you know, participating in our calls. As I keep saying repeatedly, that we are super excited about the phase of growth that our company has received. We achieved our highest annual revenues in FY23, and we are hoping to cross even that milestone in FY24. Times are great for our company for the next decade. So and we value your being part of our momentous journey. Thank you very much for participating in this call.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.